Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This Premier League Picks edition of the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Kut. Kut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to kut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball and more. Sign up today using the promo code PLGP to get a 100% deposit match. And we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Welcome, everybody, to the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is, I should know this, Wednesday, March the 27th, and we are here to preview what I claim is the start of the running on the Premier League here. Match day number 29. In what's a very busy week, because we've got a full match day that starts on Tuesday as well. So we've got back-to-back full programmes over the next 5 or 6 days. Joining me from Bingham in Nottinghamshire is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Hello, Baz. How are you? You're on mute.
I am on mute, but I'm not anymore. I'm okay, Malcolm. Just okay. I'm happy to see the back of all that international shite. I'm worried about that one last time. Although, to be fair, our international picks last week were quite good. This week, turns out, was absolute dog shit. So, nice to have Premier League back. Looking forward to a proper weekend of some proper football.
It's not an easy introduction back into the Premier League either, like I say. We've got 8 games on Saturday. Obviously, everything's squashed together because we start again on Tuesday. 8 games on Saturday, 2 on Sunday, and then we go again on Tuesday night. So we'll do those games on Sunday. So it's not we're not easing our way back in. You absolutely got to come out firing here. Callum was first in. Callum, how you doing? Harry, Lloydo, Barry, I might consider it a 3-game suspension for Lloydo. He's still needling us, Barry. Every time he gets in, Newcastle win the Champions League, whatever price you want to want. Well done, Lee Smiths. Yeah, how you doing? Frank Gallagher, we like Frank. Frank's got all the money. He wins all the money, Frank. So we'll keep him on side, Baz. Michael Roberts is here as well. We'll be expecting some goalkeeper saves, ladders later on. Yeah, the international break. What made me laugh the most was, turns out, Barry, maybe the bookmakers might know a little bit more than me. Because I sat here and couldn't work out. I was very bullish, Barry. I was confident. I had no idea how they could have the under 2.5 goals in both Georgia, Greece and Wales, Poland at the 2-1 on mark. It was unthinkable, Barry. I'd looked at the numbers. There was nothing to support that. So we took the overs in both, and they both finished 0-0, Barry. So just maybe the bookies might know a little bit better. At least it went properly tits up. I don't mind that. If it had been a wide open basketball game and finished 1-1, I'd have been furious. But the Georgia-Greece game started early. I messaged you after about 20 minutes, and I said, I think I've just worked out why this game was 1-2, because no one had any intention of scoring. They both just stood. The 11 Greek fellas stood up that end, and 11 Georgian fellas stood up that end, and that was all that happened. No one tried. No one lifted a leg.
They must have kicked each other enough. There's one thing I put out which did come off. We couldn't get the odds at the time, but I said cards because the Georgia game previous to that had had 12 cards, and the two head-to-heads last time they played in qualifying was 7 each time. And we had 7 again. You told me it was a little half-time brawl. There was a manager sent off. But 7 cards it finished on. I didn't get on. I didn't look at the price, but I'm sure the line for cards would have been, you know, 6.5 or better. I'm thinking it would have been 6.5 or less than that when I say better. Yeah. You know, I don't think you would have needed more than the 7 we got. So, yeah, 7 cards was a good angle in. I didn't take it. Again, Malcolm, I haven't watched a minute of this midweek football. I'm just busy with other stuff. Football training on Tuesday night, so didn't get to watch any of it. And I come in and Wales game was in extra time, and I just thought, I'm not bothered. I wasn't bothered. So I left it alone. Didn't get involved at all midweek.
Yeah, the cards. What helped was, I don't know his name. Is that international referee? He's a big, baldy fella. He looks like he's on steroids, and he was dying to book everyone from the first minute. And then they started getting a bit angsty, and then there was a big brawl at half-time. There was a red card, but that was to the coach. So the massive scrap helped with that. And then Georgia won on penalties, which kind of... I think Greece deserved that. We talked about Chelsea not going at Liverpool in the cup final. Greece didn't go at Georgia and paid the price by getting knocked out. And then, unfortunately, Wales got knocked out. And unfortunately, I couldn't give a toss, really. They're a backwards lot. So they went out at the hands of Poland. So we're all set up. And Ukraine couldn't get it done either. I'm claiming one winner, though, Barry. I mean, I sat here and gave 15 minutes on Gates versus Hartlepool, if you remember. Extolled the virtues of Rob Elliott's Gateshead fantasy football, Hartlepool in a hole. My man Dejean Brown, the Derby County loanee, game finished Gateshead 7, Hartlepool 1. Baz, I didn't go up the ladder, I'm not a circus act like you. I just gave the plain win. I'm a nuts and bolts man, Barry. I can't remember what bet I gave out. Gateshead to win with over 2.5 goals. Oh, Gateshead team total. Christ, what a good judge. So I'm pretty much out the woods. And I tell you what, Gateshead are worth watching for the next few weeks. Because I tell the form, Barry, that momentum is a real thing. They're playing out their skin, man. They won 7-1. Some of the goals they scored again the other night. Like I say, it's absolutely fantasy football. Like, so there you go. Cray's joined us. He's very much done with the international shite as well. And Captain Insano, second time today, Captain Insano joined me about 90 minutes ago on the MLB gambling podcast. It's opening day tomorrow, Barry. So that was a big, exciting day.
I'm really excited.
Some baseball bets. Do
you,
that.
You see my excitement.
Baz, before we move on, were you going to say something of vast importance?
I'm just saying, can you see the look of excitement on my face about baseball opening day?
You like it. Well, when there's an early kickoff, an early first pitch, you'll send me a little message. Or a late one when the football's finished. You're quite good at that. You'll send me a message at 11 p.m. and say, right, I'm going to bed in an hour. Have you got anything for this 11 o'clock Phillies v Astros game or something? So you have a little go. 6 o'clock, Baz, I was making the tea. Sausage, Yorkshire pudding. What a classic of a genre. I had some green beans. No one else did. But I noticed something in the back garden, Barry, just lying in the middle of the garden. Interesting. So I went out and had a look. And this, Barry, is what I found. An entire Greg's bag. And it's sealed, Barry. No, it's a cheese and onion pasty, Barry. It's got the label on. Well, cheese and onion bake. Still with a sticker on, sealed, just in its entirety. Sitting in the middle of my back lawn. So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm definitely going to eat it. I wanted to get some advice, really. especially, I mean, garden pasties. Do we have a feeling on whether or not it's been untampered with, Baz? It's legit. I mean, unless someone's gotten to the trouble of poisoning it and then sealing it back up. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if you go into Greg's and buy a pasty, they don't even seal it, do they? They just put it in a bag. I'm assuming that's from an Uber delivery or something like that. Maybe if you're getting a delivery of pasties, they seal them. But I've never seen a pasty sealed like that before from Greg's. So that's strange. But your back garden, there's no passing traffic around your back garden. So one of your neighbours must have thrown that over the fence.
Well, the young people sometimes hang about out there because it's a bit of a, like I say, it's a field. The young people loiter, especially in the summer, but obviously it's a bit cold and wet for loitering. And they'll loiter and they'll smoke the marijuana.
Could be what? A drone.
A drone drop.
Maybe Greg's are delivering by drone these days and one of them's dropped. You never know.
The boys in the chat want me to eat it, and the girls in the chat don't want me to eat it, which I think says a lot about men and women. But
you only eat it live on air.
I'm not eating it live. I was going to say, DJ Madness Champ.
As soon as I start my first handicap out, you should be eating it.
Number one daughter has just stuck her face through. There you go. Live advice from Betty. Don't you dare eat that. Well, we'll see. What I was quite disappointed about, Barry, do you remember that laminated pasty identification system that I had a few years ago?
No.
If this pasty hadn't been labelled up, I could have identified it because all Greg's pasties, different types, have got different markings on the top so you can tell them apart, like in the wild. So I wouldn't know what that was without having to look inside it. Because the cheese, the corned beef, the steak, they've all got different markings on. And I used to have a laminated version, which is quite top secret. But I lost it, so I don't know where my laminated version went. So my laminated pasty identifier, because occasionally you find street pasties, and that would help. We'll see that. Especially, I'm going out for beers on Saturday, Baz. That's what I'm thinking, that pasty gets eaten. If I come back in here 7 pints deep, and there's a pasty, there's that cheese pasty sitting on
I
the bench.
You'd be safer eating it now than you would eating it 4 days down the line.
Yeah, but 30 seconds in the microwave, it'll be back in the game. Lee wants me to eat it like a bush tucker trial. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm full of sausage and Yorkshire puddings, man. Anyway, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed finding an entire cheese pasty wrapped up in my back garden, 6 o'clock tonight. I was going to give this away as a prize, actually, Baz. We just talked about that. Because there's 10 games today and 10 games on Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a big, to say this is a big effort to pick these 10 games. So we've got 20 games, 20 units. Saying to Baz, what's a reasonable target? What should we be aiming to win from 20 games, Baz? 25? 30? Can we get to 30? I mean, anything over 20, I'll be happy with. So if anyone fancies writing down 20 picks, we'll trust you. You can send them in if you want. You can send them on YouTube or on Twitter. Or we'll trust you. Take one unit per play this weekend and next midweek. And let's see if we can get anyone over the 20-unit threshold. Barry has made a graphic that says, eat the pasty. Well done, Barry. You're getting quite good at that, aren't you? You're pleased with yourself.
I'm very pleased with myself.
The other option I've got is give it to Bob for his tea because he's a right pain in the arse. He doesn't eat much. Like, Dad, can I have some tea? Get that pasty down, you'll be all right. There we go, street pasty. Right, Baz. 20 games. We're only doing 10 tonight, though. We'll start with, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about first. All the other SGPN shows, 20 plus gambling podcasts, all free. Not as good as this, but some are approaching this level of edutainment, we call it. But in honour of March Madness, our featured show this week is the Sports Gambling Podcast, the flagship show hosted by Ryan and Sean. They pick every tournament game against the spread since 2012. The College Basketball Experience, Colby Dante, a.k.a. Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mark, and Noah being it, continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. So subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience wherever you get your podcast. Right, first game, absolute horror to handicap for several reasons. Is Newcastle United against West Ham United. Newcastle are 11 to 13 -117, draw 14-5 +280, West Ham 11-4 +275. So yeah, if you complicated this, it was difficult for handicap for me particularly because I don't like handicapping Newcastle. I'm not very good at handicapping Newcastle. West Ham are one of the teams I want to fade, but that's not really going very well. I've got them in a couple of spots, but they're still not dropping like I thought. If you could have given me two teams or a match that I would like least of all, this would have been it, because I don't want either team. Newcastle form's all over the place. 1-3, drawn 3, lost 3 in the last 9. But it is at home where you feel they're capable of winning. If they're going to get a result, it's at St James's Park. We beat Wolves 3-0 last time out. Again, taking advantage of them having a few injuries and stuff. And still, even though things have been a bit ropey lately, they've won 9 of 14 at home. Lost Botman now, probably our best defender. And we were conceding tons anyway, even when he was playing. And the last 8 totals for Newcastle have been 5-3, 5-4, 5-8, 4-5. So you've got a low of 3, one game. Everything else is 4s and 5s with an 8 thrown in. Both teams to score 7 of 8 of those. West Ham, 4 unbeaten. Their last away game was a win at Everton, but I think they were a little bit lucky there. So I just want to pump the brakes on fading them, especially here. But again, goals. Both teams to score 4 in a row. Newcastle can't keep a clean sheet. All the goals markets are really short bars. The bookies are underway. It's not a secret. I'd have been stunned if it was. But the shots market's reasonable, Baz. 9.5 shots on target. 5-6, -120. The only little drawback is the lunchtime slow burner aspect of it, especially back from a national break, because there will have been a lot of players away from both sides. But over 9.5 shots on target, Baz, from 2 wide-open teams, is 5-6, -120.
Yeah, so I wasn't a fan of this one to start off with. Just don't like starting off with Newcastle. I don't like handicapping Newcastle at all, really, at the minute. Just one win in 4 Premier League games for Newcastle, but as you say, it did come in a home game against Wolves, which could be a good comparison here. And you've mentioned, we know Newcastle have been good for the over 2.5s and the over 3.5s for a long time. Obviously, the run ended with a 2-0 loss to Man City in the Cup. But you wouldn't rule it out going back to plenty of goals here, because we can't keep clean sheets. We've been weakened defensively again. But you'll always fancy us to score, particularly at home. Last 7 home games all went over 2.5. Newcastle have scored 15 themselves in the last 6 at home, so averaging 2.5 goals on their own. But as you say, far too short to get involved in that. Injuries continue to mount up. West Ham's form overall recently, bit of an upturn. Just 1 loss in 6 in all competitions. But away from home, it's the complete opposite. They've just got 1 win in 6 away from home and 4 defeats in the last 6 games away from home. No real trend in terms of the goals that I could find for West Ham. Possibly my least favourite game on the slate here, and possibly my most foolish pick. And it's foolish because you can't really trust Newcastle at the moment, but I am going to trust them. I think the home form is still okay. Only Arsenal, Liverpool and Forest have come here and won in the league. Newcastle have got a run of games coming up now where I think they have to be picking up points. They need to start here. If they keep faltering, I think Howe does start to come under a lot of pressure before the end of the season. You won't want the season fizzling out. We're out of the FA Cup now. I think it has to start here. Good little run of games coming up where Newcastle have to be getting some points. I think they will start with a win here. Newcastle win at 5-6 against West Ham, please.
Oh, that's a bit jinxy for me, that, Baz. I'm not keen on that.
Neither am I.
Next up, 3 o'clock on Saturday. See, there's tons of games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 3 o'clock games on Saturday. We'll start with Bournemouth taking on Everton. Bournemouth, I've drifted a little bit. We're 11-10. They're now 15 to 13 plus 115. The draw 12 to 5 plus 260. And Everton were 12 to 5 plus 240. They're in to 9 to 4 plus 225. Barry, money for Everton.
Yeah, so funny enough, I'll start here with Everton. With my notes, they're in horrible form. 11 games without a win now. And pressure continuing to build with another points deduction looming. There's very little to be positive with Everton at the moment. However, I am very tempted with them here. We've said a few times that we do feel Everton will have a little purple patch at some point where they'll pick up 6 points in three games, or they'll pick up the odd points here and there just to pull them away, pull them into safety. And I think it might start here. They haven't won many games this season, but they did beat Bournemouth earlier in the season and beat them well, 3-0 at Goodison Park. And if you look at the Bournemouth form, they're unbeaten in three and they've got 7 points from their last three. But they have just faced the bottom three teams in the league and they had to come from two behind to scrape a draw against Sheffield United. They had to come from three behind to win against Luton. So they didn't make easy work of those strugglers. It's actually, it's an astonishing run of fixtures they've got at the moment. They've played the bottom three and then they've got Everton, who are down there, Palace next, and then Luton again. So it's six games where they're playing literally six of those teams around them. But prior to this little run where they've beaten those, where they've picked up points against the bottom three, prior to that, they had been struggling. There were seven without a win. Now, I know the form to look at is probably the most recent form where they have got the points against strugglers, because that's what Everton are at the moment. Or just look at Everton's form and stop being so stupid and realise Everton can't win a game. But I just keep coming back to Everton. I don't know why, but I was quite good last season at picking the point where some poor teams might pull off a surprise win. We've done it quite well last year. And Everton at 9-4 does appeal to me. I think it's one where I was tempted to go in. Ultimately, I've swerved away. I've kept Everton on my side. And the reason is Bournemouth have been leaky at the back. Sheffield United put two past them. Luton put three past them. Newcastle and Fulham put two and three past them. Everton to score two here is 6-4. They don't do it very often. I think the last time they did was that unlikely home draw against Spurs. But Bournemouth will give up chances. And Everton put three past them earlier in the season. The pick for me is Everton to score two or more at 6-4.
I wanted to factor Everton in, Baz, and I did actually. The chat's gone completely and utterly off the rails, Barry. I really need not to start watching Naked Attraction when we're handicapping football. It's no good for anyone. So, yeah, Bournemouth have only lost out the last nine. And I've had a nice run of games. And the results were 4-3 v Luton, 2-2 Sheffield United, 2-0 at Burnley. Still not sure they're very good, Baz, Bournemouth. I'm not really having it. Everton haven't won forever, no winning 11, but we do feel like they're ready to pop up. We do keep saying Everton are ready to pop up. They could easily have done so at Manchester United recently. They probably should have beat West Ham at home. They've got two away games, Barry, Saturday and Tuesday. They'll win at least one of them. I'm hoping they win on Saturday because that lets us Newcastle off the hook on Tuesday. My pick's going to be Everton, 12 to 5 plus 240. They're due. You can see them coming. I think if they score two goals, they win as well, Baz. So, yeah, we've kind of got the same but different. Michael likes Everton on the double chance. Over. Who's going on the over? Callum likes the... Oh, sorry. That's the over on the age of the girl in the green... Girl in the green box. It's a long time since she was a girl. Right, let's move on. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform. It's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, whatever you want. Cut offers low vig, fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. That's the fun thing to do on there. Get a bet on, set your odds, see if you can get any customers. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. Use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place and the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry to play all your fantasy sports on. Pick between two and five players, go higher or lower, and any other props, loads of different sports, and you'll win up to 100 times your money in a single game. Sign up today with the code PLGP and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com, find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with our promo code PLGP to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or over. Present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned via play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
3 o'clock, Chelsea take on Burnley. Chelsea are 7-25. -357, draw 19-4, +475. Burnley, ooh, on the drift. Burnley were 7-1, or out to 8.5-1 now. 17-2, +850 for Burnley. So friendless in the market. Firstly, I thought the 7-1 on Burnley was a terrible price. It's the first thing I wrote down. As it happens, they've now drifted 1.5. But they should be 14-1. Like, I don't know who's taking Burnley. You could, at some point, there's a price where you take any team, but not Burnley at sevens. Like, give me 14s and I might have considered it. Sevens was a terrible price. Chelsea, very, very untrustworthy. Scoring goals, Baz, 13 in the last five. And some of the players are actually looking a little bit lively. They're doing well. Jackson's been amongst the goals. Mudryk looks a much better player recently. Scored again. He scored the winner late doors for Ukraine that sent them to the Euros. So he's going to be in good form as well. I can't factor Burnley in at all, Barry. They've conceded 3 goals in 4 of their last 5 away games, Barry. Chelsea can score 3 times here. It's not a great price, but when you're dealing with these bottom teams, the prices are adjusted accordingly. Chelsea team total over 2.5 is even money, Baz.
Chelsea over 2.5 is your pick.
Chelsea team total over 2.5.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at this and having thought when I first started looking at these games, I thought Newcastle versus West Ham was probably my least favourite fixture on this card. I quickly realised that was just because it was the first one on the card. I hate this one. I absolutely hate it. Chelsea at 2-7. No thanks. Over 2.5 goals, 4-9. No thanks. And I understand it. Chelsea have. Last 4 games have seen 20 goals. They're unbeaten in 4 league games. They've scored 2 or more in 7 of the last 9. 5 of those games, they scored 3 or more. So I do get the odds. I just don't like them. Because I don't really like Chelsea much in the handicap markets because they always concede. So then they pretty much have to score 3 to cover your handicap. I think it's 11 games now since they last kept a clean sheet. Might be even more than that. I did write it down, but I've realised I've only wrote the first digit. It says 1 games. Since their last clean sheet. But anyway, it's a lot of games since they last kept the clean sheet. That's all you need to know. But it is Burnley. And the best thing you can say of Burnley is they are unbeaten in 2 games, Malcolm. They beat Brentford, helped by an early red card. And drew with West Ham, almost won that one. Little unlucky not to see it out. They did, however, pick up just 2 points from their previous 10 league games before that. They also lost their home fixture to Chelsea 4-1. I didn't like the fixture. My first thought was, look, just go for the underdog. Let's look at Burnley, 8.5-1. And then I thought, honestly, it's just a hit and hope, isn't it? There's no justification behind it. You're just hoping. And I couldn't do it. as much as I like a big price dog, and particularly against a team like Chelsea.
You might have done it 14s, Baz. You could have pulled the trigger with 14s. Oh, I might
possibly,
have done.
Possibly. But I think particularly, like, you can take an underdog against Chelsea, who this season have been capable of throwing in the odd stinker of a performance. They've had home defeats this season against Forest, Brentford, Villa, Wolves. But most of them did come earlier in the season. Their recent home form is a lot stronger. They've won 3 in a row. But they conceded 6 in the process. Leicester and Leeds both went there in the cup and scored a couple of goals. Ultimately got beat. Middlesbrough went there and scored. So teams can score against Chelsea, as I say. They don't keep many clean sheets. And plenty of teams are going there and getting a couple. Both teams to score for me. 4-5 is my pick. I think Burnley can get on the score sheet. And I'll take the 4-5. Don't mind your pick at all of Chelsea going and getting 3. I just wasn't where I wanted to go. I wanted to factor Burnley in a little bit. And I think they can get a goal. Both to score 4-5 will be my main pick. But I'm tempted to put Burnley as well to score 2 or more. 7-2 plus 350. I think it's worth a little sprinkle because a lot of teams are putting 2 past Chelsea at the moment.
Okay, I don't mind that, Baz. 3 o'clock, Nottingham Forest take on Crystal Palace. Forest 5-4 plus 120. The draw 12-5 plus 240. Crystal Palace 12-5 plus 240. But
yeah, Forest favourites here, but with just 1 win in 8 league games. I'm not so sure about this. I thought the prices should have been closer together. I've been expecting some improvement from them over recent weeks. I keep thinking something will happen with Forest, and I keep thinking when they're at home, something will happen and they'll get something. And it just hasn't happened. And the pressure continues to build. They've now had a 4-point deduction. They're in the bottom 3. Palace, on the other hand, have shown some improvement. Only 1 defeat in the last 4. They've got on the score sheet in 7 consecutive games, which is a tick. And what they have done is pick up points in the important games against the struggling sides, because Palace were getting dragged into it. And they've got away from it a little bit by beating Burnley, beating Sheffield United, a draw against Luton. The important games at the bottom end of the table, they've got points from. They were all home wins, though. Away from home, they haven't won in 9. That said, I just think the prices should be closer together here. And Forest aren't winning, as much as Palace don't win many away, Forest aren't winning many at home either. The price of Palace just appeals a bit more here. So I'm going to take Palace as the underdog at 12-5 plus 240. Palace to beat Forest for me, 12-5.
There's a load of support in the chat here, Baz, for it being the 1-1 of the week. And I totally and utterly understand why, but there's a little system play in that came on my radar here that I had to take, so I haven't taken the 1-1 of the week. But I fully understand it. Instinctively, that's kind of what you think, because for the reasons you've just said, Palace are doing just enough. And I wrote down exactly the same thing as you. They're picking up the points where they had to beat Burnley, Sheffield United, drew against Everton and Luton in the last 7. That's their MO. They will just keep chipping away against the teams around them. And Forest very much fall into that category. The Forester, it's the unders for the Forest thing that puts you off a little bit there. There's not very many unders teams in this league, but 4 of the last 5 have gone under 2.5. And 3 of those have been BTTS no. I can't take Forest. They've stopped winning. They've won 4 of 14 at home. So 5-4 is not very big. I'm not going to take Palace either. The system play, Barry, we've done it a few times, and I think it's hit just about every time, is when the over 2.5 is odds against, so plus money. You've got to take it because it's an overs league. Over 2.5 goals here is 11-10 plus 110. So I'm flying in the face of the instinct, my instinct, and just about everyone else in the chat here, Baz. But it's an overs league, 11-10. Plus 110, over 2.5 goals.
I like that. And I probably didn't. I think by the time I got to this game, I probably stopped clicking on the goals markets because I got sick of seeing 4-5s and 1-2s and everything like that. So you're right. I agree fully. At the moment, where you're getting plus money, we'll take it. And I probably overlooked that for that reason because I saw 4-9 in the Chelsea game and 1-2 in the Newcastle game. But yeah, I like your pick there.
3 o'clock kickoff. Sheffield United taking on Fulham. Sheffield United are 7-4. No, they're not. 7-2 plus 350. The draw is 3-1. Fulham are 7-10 minus 142. Sheffield United, 2 draws and 1 win in their last 8 games. Their home form's particularly catastrophic. 6-0, 5-0, 5-0 defeats in their last 3 games, which is incredible, really. But the last 4 comparison games to this, Baz, 2-2 with Bournemouth, beat Luton 3-1, 3-2 at Palace, 2-2 v West Ham. Fulham are playing really, really well, but they're just too short. It's 7-10 because they've only won 2 away games all season. I don't care who you are. Like, yeah, I get it. They're going to Sheffield United, who get humped by millions every week, and they're playing very well. They've just won at Old Trafford quite recently. They've won 2 away games. You can't be backing a team at 7-10 who've won 2 away games. By far the safest option here. First one, Baz, took you 5 games. Both teams to score in over 2.5 goals. It's even money. Look at those comp games, Baz. 2-2 Bournemouth, 3-1 Luton, 3-2 Palace, 2-2 West Ham. All cash, bloodlessly. Both teams to score over 2.5 goals, even money. Sheffield United versus Fulham.
I disagree with pretty much all of what you said there, Malcolm. I can back Fulham. I will back Fulham. I've not given Fulham enough respect recently, and I think I need to change. 3-0 against Spurs was a great result, great performance. But it wasn't a one-off. They put 3 past Brighton, 3 past Bournemouth, went to Old Trafford, beat Man United. There are a couple of defeats in there to Villa and Wolves. I don't know, maybe they don't like the West Midlands or something. But I'm not really worried about their away form, Malcolm, because Sheffield United's home form is woeful. So you can spin it that way. Fulham away form is terrible, but equally, so is Sheffield United's home form. They've lost 5 of their last 6. They've conceded 20 in their last 4 home games, and they failed to score in their last 3. So with Fulham in good form and good scoring form, for me, I thought it was an easy pick. Fulham at 8-11. You've got them at 7-10. Whatever it is, I'll take Fulham to beat Sheffield United. And I'll have a little bit on Fulham to score 3 or more, not 2-1. So my main pick will be the Fulham win over Sheffield United. But I definitely like 2-1 on Fulham to score 3 goals here.
Okay, we'll move on. So I told you about Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props and game lines. Research NBA and soccer bets with historical stats and data. Put your parlay ideas into Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer. You get expected probabilities for your parlay, hit rates broken down by leg, sort players by hit rates, find out who's got the value. Stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. 3 o'clock Saturday continues with Tottenham Hotspur against Luton Town. Tottenham 2-9, -450. The draw at 7-1. And Luton were 8-1, drifted 10-1. Why are Luton a bigger price than Burnley? It's fucking insane. Baz, Tottenham, Luton.
You're right. It's insane. It's another horrible one to get involved with, was my first thought, yeah. Because 1-5 odds, I can sort of deal with when it's Man City at home to these teams or Arsenal, Liverpool home to these teams. But Spurs, with some recent wobbles recently, I just don't think Spurs should be 1-5 against anyone at the moment. They've just lost 3-0 to Fulham. They've had home defeats recently to Wolves. They've earlier home defeats to Chelsea, Villa, West Ham. So it hasn't been all plain sailing at home this season. Now, I know Luton aren't picking up many points. I said I was finished with them after they failed to hold on to that 3-0 lead against Bournemouth. But let's not forget, I cashed a 5-1 winner there. They went 2 up, early payout. So my faith in them at that point did produce a winner if you backed them on certain books who pay you out early. But the other thing, Luton have been competitive in some of the games against top 6 sides. They had a 1-1 draw against Liverpool, lost 4-3 to Arsenal, 2-1 to City, 1-0 to Spurs. So in all of these games against big sort of top 6, big 6 sides, whatever you want to call them, they can compete. They aren't winning, I'll take that, but they always score. They went and put 4 past Newcastle, 4 past Brighton recently. So there's, you know, they're capable of getting goals. They can get on the score sheet and make a game of this year. And for me, Malcolm, I think 10-1 is too big. I talked myself out of an underdog earlier with the Burnley one, and I think you sort of justified why that was the sensible thing to do. But I think there's enough here. with Spurs having lost a good few games at home and having a few wobbles, there's not that consistency there at the minute. Luton to beat Spurs at 10-1 is my pick here, Malcolm. And if anyone isn't interested in that and you want something a bit shorter, I looked at over 1.5 first half goals. It's 8-11. I like there to be goals in this game. But 10-1's the point. Like, as you say, every team becomes backable at a certain point. And I think against Spurs, I can take Luton here. Luton to beat Spurs 10-1, Malcolm.
That will certainly help get towards 20 units, Baz, over the two match days, if you hit that bad boy. Yeah, I was quite happy to factor Luton in. Again, the goals markets here are terribly short. I hated them. And I really don't like my pick because it's 11-10 and it feels like it should be 7-4 or 2-1. It's a 7-4 shot that I'm taking at 11-10. But I think you just have to adjust. So the same people who knew that Poland and Wales were going to draw 0-0. So you've got to trust them. Over 2.5 both teams to score 10 games in a row for Luton. So they're absolutely good for a goal. And like you say, Tottenham are kind of all over the place. Both teams to score in over 2.5 is short, 7-10. Both teams to score in over 3.5. So Tottenham nick it 3-1, 3-2, something like that. Luton can even win, like Wolves went and won their 4-2. That is 11-10 plus 110. So both teams to score with over 3.5 goals, 11-10 plus 110, Tottenham versus Luton. Next game is tea time on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff, which is 1:30 Eastern time. I think we're still 4 hours in front. Aston Villa taking on Wolverhampton Wanderers. Aston Villa 11-17, minus 153. The draw is Burlington Birdie, 100-30 plus 333. And Wolves are 4-1. Wolves have drifted a little bit here. Villa, unpredictable. Villa are making me a little bit twitchy for my handicap bet. There's a couple of teams still just sniffing around. I'm still their favourites, but I think it might be West Ham and Tottenham, maybe. They were kind of hanging about. They lost 3 of the last 4 at home. Very similar comparison games, Barry. Tottenham, Newcastle, Manchester United. So this short price doesn't appeal at all about Aston Villa. Wolves, on the other hand, have won 3 out of 4. The loss kept coming at Newcastle in their last away game. But that really didn't go to plan. They had some injuries coming in. They took their 2 best players off at half time. There was nothing in it really until it was a tight game, and it got away from them. But the 2 away games before that, they'd won at Tottenham and they'd won at Chelsea. So you've got a team here who've lost 3 very similar home games and a team that have won 2 very similar away games, Barry. And I'm getting that team at 4-1. You can only back Wolves, Baz. Any other conclusion is incorrect, Barry. So I'm interested to see what you've got here. Wolves at 4-1 to win at Aston Villa, Baz.
I agree. I got to this point and felt like a bit of a broken record, really, because it's another fixture where I just find myself completely uninterested in the home favourite at the prices, as I did with Spurs, Chelsea, Forest. Immediately drawn to the underdog again here. Villa, as you say, they've lost 4 of the last 6 home games. They did win at home to Ajax, but prior to that, they had conceded 2 or more goals in 7 straight home games. You can't keep conceding 2 and expect to win games. But then you look at Wolves' form here, and as I think you mentioned, their away form, they've lost just 1 of their last 7. They've got decent recent away wins versus Chelsea and Spurs. 4-1 Wolves, Mark. Can't get away from it. I agree with you. Wolves to beat Villa at 4-1 has to be the pick here. Again, if someone wants to play it safer, I know some people prefer to get someone a bit closer at the evens mark. Wolves' double chance, 13-10, would stand out. But for me, I'm happy to take the dog. Wolves to beat Villa.
We're both chasing these big units, Baz, to give us a little boost towards the weekly target. It's like we're trying to fix the church roof. Saturday evening, 8 p.m, is Brentford against Manchester United. Brentford, 2-1. The draw, 14-5, plus 280. And Manchester United are 5-4, plus 120, Barry. This was an interesting game.
I thought it was easy.
Did you?
Brentford are in stinking form. No win in six. Just one draw in those six games. And I've said for a few weeks now, it's defensively where they've got the biggest problems, because they do invariably score in most games, but they're almost always letting in two goals. 11 of their last 13 league games have seen them concede two or more. Bizarrely, one of the teams that didn't score two there was Man City. Defeat to Burnley was a horrible result. That saw them dragged into the relegation battle. 5 points ahead of the relegation places at the moment. That's not a big gap when you're in the form Brentford are in. They're currently rock bottom of the form table. I think 1 point from five games puts them rock bottom of that table. You can't take Brentford. Even against Man United, you can't have Brentford here. 2-1 isn't big enough to take Brentford. It should be a straightforward Man United win to me. 6-5, I think, looks a price. Feels a bit dirty to me, though, back in Man United. And in the interests of sticking to my New Year's resolution, I can't back Man United on the money line, can I? But I will take Man United. I'm going to take them on the team total market, slightly safer play. Man United to score two or more here is at 4-5. Everyone puts two past Brentford. Man United will put two past Brentford. So the pick is Man United team total over 1.5 at 4-5. But Man United will win this one. Take the 6-5.
Courtney and Patrick arguing in the chat's quite good. Both play with each other for typing stuff out. Brentford been playing okay, Basin. It has been a tough run of fixtures for them. And then they got the chance against Burnley and blobbed it with the early red card. Since then, they went to Arsenal and ran them really close as well. Arsenal, scored right at 85 minutes or something like that. Still can't back Man United, Barry. Did you watch that game against Everton, man? They were absolutely dog shit. And any wins they've had aren't underpinned by anything that I like. So I have in the past taken them at a price when I think they've been value, but I don't think they're value here at all. I don't think either team are good enough to win, Baz. So what we'll do is we'll take the draw at 13-5 plus 260. And it is the 1-1 draw of the week, Barry. 7-1. Brentford 1. Manchester United 1.
It's Malcolm's 1-1 draw of the week.
Goal. Yeah. Wee, that was good. 7-1 the draw, love it. Next, Sunday, two games on Sunday, the final two games, two big games as well. This is where all the title shenanigans will occur. Liverpool get to go first, 2 o'clock kickoff, where they take on Brighton and Hove Albion. Liverpool are 11-25, -227. The draw is, in fact, there's been some huge line movement here. The draw was 4-1, is now 9-2. Brighton were 5-1 and now 13-2. So Brighton have drifted by 1.5. Liverpool eventually suffered some bad fortune in the FA Cup defeat against Manchester United. They're still unbeaten at home in the league. The 1-1 against Man City in the last home league game. They played very, very well. And before that, at home, beat Luton 4-1, Burnley 3-1, Chelsea 4-1, Newcastle 4-2. It's hard to pick holes in what Liverpool have been doing, Barry. Brighton's form line on the little website that I use, it's just like a rainbow, Baz. It's all the different colours, like. So there's no patterns at all. And they've only got four wins away in the league. However, Baz, today's the day. Today's the day. Liverpool are blobbing this. Brighton are just the sort of team to go and do them in. 13-2. I'll take Brighton, Baz. 6.5-1, please. Brighton to turn over. Liverpool, 13-2.
I love it. And I hope you're on a winner, Malcolm. But I have gone the opposite way. Finally, the first short-priced favourite that I think I can get behind, because they are still unbeaten at home. They've won 18 times at home by a two-goal margin or better. Only City, Arsenal and Man United have come away with anything. And they were draws. I just don't think this inconsistent Brighton side can get anything. They've lost 5 of the last 6 away games. That includes a 4-0 Roma, 3-0 Fulham, 4-0 Luton. I just think the Liverpool handicap looks too tempting to me. They've covered the handicap margin 18 times at home already this season. Crazy stat. Liverpool on the handicap, -1.5 at 10 to 11 is my pick.
Right, so this is one of those bets where we can absolutely guarantee everybody a winner, Baz, by
Liverpool win by one goal.
This was happened a couple of weeks ago, didn't it, where I took the over 3.5, you took the under 2.5, so it was going to land exactly on 3. So, that's good news for everybody. If you've done nothing else in this show, you've got an absolute nailed-on winner, which is Liverpool to win by exactly one goal to stymie me and Baz. Final game on the card, and what a beauty this is. Manchester City taking on Arsenal. Manchester City are 9-10. I'm guessing they've drifted a little bit from 11-13. I'm assuming in the face of the injuries that Walker and Stones picked up, although I don't quite know the extent of them. Man City 9-10, -111. The draw is 14-5 plus 280. And Arsenal are the same price, 14-5 plus 280. Nipped in a little bit from 3-1. Barry, Man City, Arsenal.
Yeah, so another one straight into another home favourite and another home favourite who haven't lost at home all season. And I like City here. You've mentioned those couple of injuries. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are fit enough on Saturday. I'm always sceptical of some of these injuries picked up during the international break. Remains to be seen. We'll see. But here's why I like City. 22 games unbeaten. They haven't lost in any competition since Villa back in December. There are a few draws in there. And in these big sort of games, draws against Liverpool, Chelsea got a draw. They have been kept close in these big matchups. But that's fine. You don't need to worry about handicaps here anyway, because they're a reasonable enough price to take without worrying about handicaps. So it can be a close game. They can still win it. Arsenal's overall form at the moment is hot. No doubt about it. They had the 1-0 defeat to Porto. That's the only blemish in the last 10 games. Won 9 of the last 10 and scored a lot of goals in the process. But I think their away form tells a slightly different story. Short term, it looks great. They've won the last 4 league away games. The only game they've lost in that spell was the away game to Porto. But those 4 league away games were Sheffield United, Burnley, Forest and West Ham. So 3 of the relegation contenders in there. And if you look at more competitive games they've had away from home this season, they've lost to Porto, lost to Fulham, lost to Villa, lost to Newcastle, lost to Lons. They dropped points at Liverpool, Chelsea, PSV. That's a lot of away games against good sides, where they haven't come away with 3 points. So short term, 4 wins and 5 away from home looks great. But it's also, if you want to look longer term, 4 wins in the last 9 away league games, last 9 away games, if you look at that. I just think the current form is great, absolutely. But the away form is very much good fixtures recently. And this isn't a good fixture for them. I'm not going to call Arsenal bottlers, Malcolm. That's for other people. I would not do that. I think Arsenal have been very good. I think they're right in the hunt. Both of us said if it comes down to Arsenal, Liverpool would take Arsenal over, would want Arsenal over Liverpool. I didn't say the bottlers, but people did. Wasn't me, but it was levelled at them last year. And it was around the time last year where they started to fall apart that they played this exact same fixture close to Man City, went to the Etihad, and City absolutely blew them away that day. 4-1 had finished, but it could easily have been 6 or 7. Now, I think Arsenal have improved since then, and I think City have possibly regressed a little this season since then as well. I said the same when City played Liverpool the other week, and I was wrong on that occasion, but I think when you get City anywhere close enough to evens, it's enough for me to just take them at that price. City have won the last 8 head-to-heads at the Etihad as well between them and Arsenal. Give me City to beat Arsenal, 10 to 11.
This is one of those games, Baz, we've talked about this, where we have different opinions and you make the case to suit your own agenda. So you've just outlined why Arsenal's incredible form is actually a little bit shaky. And I'm about to outline why Manchester City's form is a little bit shaky because it suits me and yours suited you. 1-1 against Liverpool last time out for Manchester City. They were lucky by the end. They had an element of control in the first half, not in the second half they didn't. Liverpool Nunes missed two chances, or maybe it was Diaz. Anyway, they all missed chances, and very easily could have had that penalty at the end as well. They beat Bournemouth 1-0. They beat Brentford 1-1. They had that 1-1 home game with Chelsea, Barry. Chelsea put them open time and time and time again. That's what Newcastle were pinning their hopes on a couple of weeks ago in the FA Cup. We thought Chelsea cut them to ribbons. Arsenal have won 8 on the spin, a lot of them very, very convincingly. And at some point, Arsenal are going to make their claim. So they've been hovering around for 2 or 3 years, and I think they're going to do it on Sunday. I'm going to take Arsenal, Baz. I've got them down at 3-1. There's probably some 3-1 still out there. So, yeah, Arsenal to beat Manchester City at 3-1, Barry. I am going for it. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, 10 games in the hutch, handicap, Baz. All sorts of shit going on there, Barry. We've got some 10-1 shots. We've got some 13-2. We've got a load of underdog plays, loads of goal scorer bets. We've got a right old mix. Yeah, remember, if you're playing along at home, I want to see 20 units over the next 5 or 6 days. And we're going to take a check of who did what. Barry, would you like to go first with your exotic things?
I'd rather you eat the pasty first, but if that's what happened.
The pasty is for the winner of the 20 units competition, Barry. I will post this. I might even throw in a free sausage roll. There's enough dodgy-looking pasties on the telly, Baz, without me eating that at the moment anyway.
Yeah, let's go into the exotics then. I'll start off with my scorer pick this week. It's going to be Rodrigo Muniz for Fulham, who's banging form. 6-4 any time in a game that Fulham are going to win. 9-2 first scorer for Muniz. Underdog for me will be Wolves to beat Villa, 4-1. And my Aka is the one that you will absolutely hate, because I think you're on the other side of all of this, is Fulham, Man United and Man City all to win at 13-2, 6.5-1, plus 650.
Say that again, I'm writing that down.
The accumulator, Fulham, Man United and Man City all to win, 6.5-1.
Yeah, I've got none of it.
And Malcolm, here's one for you as well. Just because, you know, a standing bet. The over 1.5s in every game, all 10, is at 9-2. Over 2.5 in all 10 games is 85-1. We've still got close on those over 1.5s again in recent weeks. There's generally one game letting us down at the moment. Courtney put in the chat, or Patrick, one of the two before, said, how about the over 2.5 goals in all 20 games over the next week?
Oh, jeez.
5,500-1, Malcolm.
Come on. Yes.
If everyone isn't sticking a 20-fold Aka into their bet slip right now at 5,500-1, what are you doing? You'll be kicking yourself. Stick a pound, stick a dollar, whatever it is, a euro. Let's see them all roll in. It's ambitious, but, you know.
Over 2.5, I love that, Baz. So, my parlay, my accumulator, is going to be a Sunday accumulator on Brighton and Arsenal to both win. That's 28-1, Barry. My underdog of the week is just going to be Arsenal at 3-1. And my anytime goal scorer, Baz, because Everton are going to win with that goal, back post, bobbles around, goes in the goal. It's going to be Abdoulaye Doucouré who shins it or knees it in or whatever. If he doesn't do it on Saturday, he'll do it on Tuesday. So I'll probably take him both days. Abdoulaye Doucouré is 9-1 to score first and 130 plus 333 anytime goal scorer, Baz. There you go. Perfect. We've got a Gordon, Anthony Gordon, Raheem Sterling and James Maddison all to get an assist. 50-1 treble from Michael. I like a bit of that. Baz, anything you want to tell the people before we go?
No, I've got to go smuggle stuff into the neighbour's bin again.
Oh, have you? Well, we haven't done that for a little while. Champion, okay then. Well, we'll be back on Sunday night with the outcome of all this silliness and a full handicap of the games that take place next Tuesday. Is it just Tuesday and Wednesday, or do we... get down to all these games on Thursday as well. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But yeah, have a little look around the rest of the network. March Madness is going full tilt. Baseball starts tomorrow. Even if you don't listen to it, Lee, Michael, Callum, all of you people, just go and subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast. Thank you very much. And I think that's it. Chat was fun, as always. I'm going to go and investigate this pasty. Back on Sunday, and we will see you down the road. Cheers.